Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're going to read the readings from today's Mass, from this weekend's Mass schedule that is read at Catholic churches all over the world. And so we're going to read, this is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And Ordinary Time is kind of just a kind of a footnote on what Ordinary Time is they wear, typically we always wear green vestments, but it's a time for growth. It is a time, you know, it's outside of Easter, it's outside of the Christmas and Advent seasons, the Christmas and Easter season. And so this Ordinary Time is really a time of prayer, it's a time of self-reflection, but more than anything, it's a time for growth. That's what this green is, this time for growth. And am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in my knowledge of God and in the church and in the church's teachings, so that things have been taught in the Catholic Church for over 2,000 years? So our readings today, so grab your Bibles, and we have our first reading is Old Testament reading from the book of Amos. And so here is the book of Amos, chapter 8, 4 through 7. That's Amos, chapter 8, 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, and we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the alf and add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuge of the wheat we will sell. Even the Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So beautiful reading there, kind of a challenging reading. And we're going to go back to these, each one of these, and examine these as we go through all of these readings and how they're connected. And we'll see that this Old Testament is really connected to our second reading from 1 Timothy, as well as our gospel reading. So let's go right to our second reading, which is from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing for our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish, then, that every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Beautiful reading there, and the church has got about 12 different teachings on that, which we'll touch back on all of those when we complete this. So this is kind of how Mass goes. At the, you know, of course, there's the welcoming and there's prayers, and at the very beginning, but then we go into Liturgy of the Word, and then we have Liturgy of the Eucharist, the second half of Mass. but we read all three readings. The priest or the deacon will read the gospel, which is our next reading, and then there's a short homily, about 10 or 15 minutes. So we kind of stretch that out a little bit on our show here because we have time to do that. So let's go right to our gospel reading. We'll see how all these readings are connected in such a beautiful way, how the church puts these together for us, that it has meaning, see? It has order. It's not just one scripture passage and then, you know, that's it. Or three lines of text and we just concentrate on those three lines of text. No, there's a great richness. This is the full course meal, if you will, okay? You're getting Old Testament, you're getting a letter from Paul, and then the words of Christ himself, from Jesus Christ himself in the gospel. So beautiful. So the gospel reading today is Luke 16, 1 through 13. That's Luke 16, 1 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He declared, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that the dishonored steward had acted prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So just some great readings here, and it's kind of a connection, this really great connection of the last few weeks of idol worship. And this week it's very focused on money, okay? It's very focused on money, but in a certain way too, this word mammon is also considered kind of evil or the devil, okay? That in a certain kind of way maybe we're even worshiping that out of this word mammon. So let's go back to our first reading. We want to look at that on some of the church teachings on that. But really, this is really about where our worship is, you know, and how we treat one another. And there's just a beautiful saying from from the Catechism, which we're going to go into in just a few minutes here. We got about 18 minutes left to go here. But before we get into that, I just want to make kind of a little reminder of where you can go if you're interested in becoming Catholic. You can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo's website, which is diokzoo.org. You can go to that, and there's information on there on how to become Catholic. And there's also, you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. And if you want to listen to more things about the Catholic Church, it's part of EWTN, EWTN.com. But in the Kalamazoo area, you can listen to 91.5 FM and the Battle Creek area, and even somewhere in the Kalamazoo area, sometimes the signal comes in better too, which is 89.7 FM in the Battle Creek area. And then in the Grand Rapids area, AM 1140. And once again, this is the Epiphany Radio program. It's kind of an awakening program. It's not just for Catholics. It's for everybody. And those who are, you know, thinking about their faith. And I think when we talk more about this, the scripture readings today, we're going to kind of discover, you know, where am I at in my life? Is my life just consist of going to work? And if you have a family, thanks be to God that you have a family. What a wonderful gift that is to have a family. But really to enjoy that family fully, is to really get to know God and where you came from, where we all come from, what this life is all about. What am I supposed to be? What role am I supposed to play? And so if you come from another tradition, you know, the Baptist Church or you know, Judaism or whatever faith you had practiced in the past or when you were younger, you know, I encourage you to try to return to that, or at least to return to prayer, and try to, you know, think about the things of God, the positive things about God, and really try to encourage yourself and encourage others that, you know, there's more to this life than just simply working. You know, it can become quite boring. And I know for myself that, you know, and being a deacon in the Catholic Church is just a beautiful gift. And to come to you and to read these scriptures to you and talk to you about what the Church teaches is just a beautiful thing. So I want to read from the Catechism on this first reading from Amos 8, 4 through 7. And what the Church is saying, what this scripture is really pointing towards. And it's pointing towards the fifth commandment. And the Church says this: the fifth commandment forbids doing anything with the intention of indirectly bringing about a person's death. The moral law prohibits exposing someone to mortal danger without grave reason, as well as refusing assistance to a person in danger, right? Kind of the Good Samaritan laws that they have sometimes too, right? Okay, so it continues on. The acceptance of human society of murderous famines without effects to remedy them is a scandalous injustice and a grave offense. Those whose usurious and vicarious dealings lead to the hunger and the death of their brethren in the human family indirectly commit homicide, which is imputable to them. So it's like, you know, if we do not help our brothers and sisters, we're kind of participating in that in a certain way, totally ignoring that in a certain way. Okay? It also goes on to this unintentional killing is not a moral imputable, okay? But one is not exonerated from this grave offense if, without proportionate reasons, He has acted in a way that brings about someone's death, even without the intention to do so. So when we're called as a church, we're called as a people to share, right? So these are heavy words, but so is this reading from Amos, you know, that we're going to cheat people out of. You know, we see in our grocery stores, the grocery stores are full. So as we go through all these scriptures, just think about this. Am I doing enough? Can I give $5 a month to the poor? Think about that. So just think about that. So let's move forward. Or am I doing enough? You know, there's prayer too. We can pray. Do I pray? You know, we talked about that a little bit earlier, you know. What am I doing in my life? Do I just go to work and then come home and watch TV and then watch football? Or do I dedicate 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours during my week to ask God for direction? Ask God, you know, what can I do? Can I pray for my brothers and sisters? Okay, and so as we go into 1 Timothy, we talk about that because this is really a beautiful scripture reading. There's all these teachings from the church, but just a couple that I want to focus in on. And that this is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved, every single person here on this planet. Okay? And then there's also this point here too. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And of course, many people sometimes will say, you know, about the Catholic Church that we, you know, we pray to the saints, or we pray to Mary, we ask for intercession. You know, that, you know, just to clarify that so that you understand what this is all about. You know, we ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us here, right? The same thing is, and how much greater those prayers are, and how much more powerful those prayers are when our brothers and sisters go on to heaven, okay? So they go on to heaven, you know, just like with Mother Teresa. We ask for her. She is in the glory, the presence of God. We ask her, Mother Teresa, pray for us. Blessed Mother Mary, pray for us. And who among us can say to Mary, compare ourselves to her, compare ourselves to the Blessed Mother? Who among you would stand at the foot of the cross, right? With the Roman soldiers standing all around, ready to kill anyone who's associated with this man, Jesus. And that still exists today. How many are willing to stand at the foot of the cross? For only one. There was only one apostle who stood at the foot of the cross. Only one who stood at the foot of the cross with Mary, who interceded in a certain way. In a certain way, this intercession. Yes? St. John with the Blessed Mother. And what happens there is Jesus gives her to him. Take care of my mother. Behold your mother. Behold your son. Right? How many of us are willing to do that? Or are we one of the 11? We're off hiding somewhere. Ashamed. Afraid. Even afraid of Mary. Afraid of Jesus, afraid of the Roman soldiers, afraid of our whole lives. See? So we live a life of fear. See? We don't want to go to church. We don't want to pray. We live a life of fear. We live a life of denial. We live a life on the surface. It's very sad. I've been there. Been there, done that, folks. I can still do it today. You know, I don't reach out to a person when I know I'm supposed to. And a few hours later, Jesus tells me, why didn't you do that? I apologize. I repent of that and say, I'm sorry, but give me another opportunity. And he does, and he will. That's life in Christ. That's life in the church. That's living the spiritual life. Some people will say, well, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. Good. Okay. Practice it. Practice that spirituality. Do you reach out? Do you love? Do you try to help another person? Or are you like the other 11? You go and hide. Okay? Sometimes I'm like the other 11. But I have great devotion to Mary. I have great devotion to the Blessed Mother. And thanks be to God for that. And the main reason why I do, because all the great saints, including St. John, had devotion to Mary, loved the mother of Jesus. So what do you think that Jesus is going to say to you when you get to heaven? Did you ever know her? Did you ever know her? Will that be his question to you and to me? Did you ever know her? And hopefully you don't answer back, know who? Who's her? Know my mother. Know Our Lady. Did you ever know her? Did you ever talk to her? Did you ever ask for her intercession and ask for her help? Or ask St. John? My brothers and sisters, we're a family, okay? We're a family. We don't need to be silly and say that, you know, I only pray to, if that's what you want to do, that's fine, okay? But what I'm saying is that this is a family. It's a lot bigger, okay? So let's think about that. We think about that this week too. But let's go on to the gospel, because there's another reading from the catechism. It's very beautiful. But, you know, the Lord is calling us to be a good steward and helping our neighbor and being in communion, that we are in communion with the whole world. We are in communion with all of humanity. So when that person starves or that child does not have enough food to eat, you know, right here in our own city, right here in our own state, right here in Michigan, right here in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids, you know, the sick, the suffering, the starving, am I doing anything about that? That's what this scripture reading is about. This is about examining ourselves to see, you know, do I worship my money? I think it's my money. Do I worship that? I put that before the poor. I go back to being like these other men and women who hold on to that money tightly. You know, I don't want to let it go. So the church teaches this in the Catechism 2424 on this gospel reading from Luke. And let me read from that. It's just another really beautiful reading. So it's 2424. It looks like I might have picked the wrong page. So this is just a beautiful, beautiful reading. So here it is, 2424. Okay, so here's what the church is saying on this, and it is the love of money. It's this worship and worshiping of money. So here it is. A theory that makes profit the excessive norm and the ultimate end of economic activity is morally unacceptable. The disordered desires for money cannot produce perverse effects. It is one of the causes of the many conflicts which disturb the social order. A system that subordinates the basic rights of individuals and groups to the collective organization of production is contrary to human dignity. Remember, we talked about human dignity last week. That's what the church teaches, human dignity. We have dignity. We have value. Let me go back to the catechism here. Every practice that reduces persons to nothing more than a means of profit enslaves man, leads to idolizing money, and contributes to the spread of atheism. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? That's at the end of that reading. So let me just read that again really quickly here, okay? Every practice that reduces a person to nothing more than a means of profit enslaves man, leading to idolizing money and contributes to the spread of atheism. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? So there, this is a church teaching. That's from the Catechism, Catholic Church, number 2424. And we think about that, okay, and we think, well, that's not a big deal, or, you know, and I've talked to people about this. I think, you know, well, you know, everybody's open now, and I don't think it's a big deal that people have to work on Sunday. It is a big deal, my brothers and sisters. It's a terrible big deal. It's a terrible big deal when, you know, people over in China and even here and here in the United States work 7 days a week. They never have a day off. That they become enslaved. They truly become enslaved to their jobs. Or they have to answer their emails, you know, 7 days a week. They're constantly being watched. My brothers and sisters, this is the entrapment. This is the entrapment of mammon, money, evil, the devil. And we are letting it in. And in a certain way, we're letting it in because, you know what, we don't want to pray. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to, you know, say to our boss or our the place that we work at, listen, I need to go to church. I need to go to Mass. I need to have Sundays off, or at least every other Sunday. Of course, you can go to Mass on Saturdays, too, after 4 o'clock. You can go to Mass on Saturdays, too. But you can always pray, right? You can always pray, and you can always pray for these things to change, too. And another thing you can do, too, is you know, change your shopping habits. You know, that's the old way, the way it used to be. You know, people didn't shop on Sundays. You spent time with your family on Sundays. You went to church on Sundays. Now, I know that's not always possible, okay? But we could make some moves in those directions to stop worshiping this idol of money, idol worship. See, going all the way back. Not only is it, you know, so we're talking about the first commandment, the fifth commandment here, but it's the thing is we are breaking these commandments without even knowing it. We've been so kind of brainwashed with these things that we really need to break out of it. And a big way we become brainwashed by the world is we stop praying. We stop praying, we stop reading the Word, we stop going to Mass, we stop receiving the Holy Eucharist. So as we go through this week, we only got a couple of minutes left, about a minute and a half left, and I just really want you to really meditate on these readings. But more than anything, I want you to think about the poor. And you know, if you're poor yourself, you know, you don't have enough food, you know, reach out. Reach out to the churches in your area. There is help available. But more than anything, start to pray. Come back to church. Start to realize that that's where the real healing is going to begin. That's where the real change is going to begin. And you know, you may have to do this on your own, and then your family will follow later. But be in prayer this week. Let us pray for all the sick and the suffering in this world, the homeless, the hungry, and in a special way for those who will die today. And let us read these scriptures and try to attend Mass to receive the Holy Eucharist, the fullness of the Catholic faith that will help you and heal you. May Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.